Welcome back to UTARadio.com. This is The Hot Seat alongside my co-host, Creighton Branch, and I am Micah Cole. And now we bring to you some World Series talk.
You're not Micah Cole. You're Micah Ka Cole.
Micah Ka Cole, my co-host being a good friend and correcting me on that. I appreciate it, Creighton. I really do. That was not meant to be sarcasm. So.
Oh, was it not?
No.
Oh.
Okay. No, I actually do appreciate it. So.
Nah, we got to push that name out. It's going to be iconic one day.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, it will be.
It will be.
But yeah, no, you're right. World Series Baseball
has love it.
Officially begun. I know you're excited, man. I know you're excited. It's your favorite time of the year, that's for sure. So last night, interesting game.
It was pretty fun, actually, last night. Until I believe it was the eighth inning where the Red Sox started taking over. But,
blew it open.
You know, yeah. I really enjoyed that last night. That was fun to see.
Yeah, the Red Sox ended up winning 8-4. I believe Kershaw had four innings pitched.
Something like
seven
that.
Seven hits. And then Sale, who was on the other end.
Sale?
Well, yeah, Sale started out the game, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Sale had four innings as well. Yep. He allowed three runs on five hits.
Yep.
Seven strikeouts, though.
Yeah, Kershaw allowed five runs. And so...
It wasn't really what I expected it to be, though, with two of the top pitchers in the league.
No, honestly, that's right. I mean, like, let's go ahead and get into that. Like, seriously, like...
It ended up being the exact opposite, but I still really enjoyed it.
Because you always talk about, you know, pitchers' duels.
Trust me, if this comes back up again in a game five, it'll come back around.
Okay, because I was thinking that this one was going to be... I was thinking about, man, no one's going to get any hits off of these guys. Like, it's just going to be one of those... It's going to be one of those games where... Everyone's missing.
And we were wrong.
And yeah, I mean,
there was a lot of hits and there was a lot of runs scored.
And in the first inning, Boston scored two right off the bat.
Like, they started the Kershaw chance and they got going real fast.
Clayton Kershaw.
I love that.
Hot take. Coming to Texas?
Yes.
What?
If they win the World Series this year, he's coming to Texas.
Next year.
Maybe not next year, but once we get that stadium, he's coming to Texas.
We don't deserve Clayton Kershaw.
We don't, but he's going to.
That's your
hot take right there. If he wins a World Series, he's coming to Texas.
Is that like a pity thing?
No, I think he just wants to be here.
Really?
Why not?
He's like, you know what? I got a ring. I'll go help you out. That's cute. You guys are good.
Hey, Cole Hamels did too. But he didn't win us anything though. So
that's true. Thanks.
But I mean, he got us.
Nah, the Rangers have a long way to go.
They do, but
this we won't be seeing. We won't be talking about them in the.
Probably not for a while.
We will not be talking about them this far into the season for a long time.
No doubt. Matt Kemp, by the way, hit a sacrifice fly to tie
the game. Oh, did he really?
So now it is 1-1.
Yeah, it's 1-1, top of the fourth.
We got a game now.
They got a guy on first and second with one out. Game can be seen on Fox. Our updates will be here on Facebook Live. So you will not miss any of the scoring action as you tune into the hot seat. But yeah, no. It was a really wild game last night because I was thinking that you know, this was going to be a very defensive battle on the mound, and it wasn't. But I'll tell you what, here's my take that I took from last night. It didn't matter. That game was a lot of fun.
Oh,
which led me to my second point about how we had this topic a couple weeks ago. Go ahead and say it. The Blue Bloods are great for baseball.
The Blue Bloods are great
say
for
it.
Baseball.
Yeah, say it. Let me be quiet. Let me be quiet, and then you can say it. Hold on. Pause.
The Blue Bloods are great for baseball.
Perfect. Was that not a great game?
It was.
It was.
Really
it looks like
Two
we're getting
story franchises as well.
And it looks like we're getting a another one right now.
Yes, so, sir.
What do you see going further into the series? What do you think both teams have to do to either win this in? Some saying Boston in five. Possibly I'm seeing that.
I don't see that based on those on what happened in game one. And
it was 8-4. They blew it open.
I mean, they blew it open, but it took a while.
Three runs in the seventh.
It took a while to blow it open, though. Keep that in mind. Like, L.A. had their chances, and they just didn't capitalize as much as they should have.
That's what they always do, though, it seems like. They've gotten better, but that's what it always seems they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Yeah, always. Anyways.
This is a long series, though. It's going to come down to... Who can pitch better in this series? Whose bullpen can be better?
Did we pick our picks for this one?
No.
I don't think we ever got around to it.
Because Remember, the World Series just started yesterday.
No,
and
I'm saying.
And the Dodgers went to
Game
7.
Oh, you're right.
Seven.
We were still on. Yeah, the
CS.
So. Yeah. Okay. Well, what did you have them in?
Well, I have the Dodgers in 7. I'm going to stick to it, even though they lost Game 1.
I had Boston in 5.
Okay.
Because I just think this team's too good. And I think you saw that last night, honestly.
They're a really good team.
Because here's the thing. Man. You can stick with Boston for so long, and we've seen this time and time in the postseason this year. Eventually, that 6th, 7th, 8th inning, those last... They just crack it open, man. They're just, it's too much to handle.
See,
the damn breaks.
That's going to be one of the keys for the Dodgers if they want any chance to win this series.
That's where Clayton Kershaw comes in. If he is everything we think he is, that's where he'll shine. He's in those moments.
He's going to be needed multiple more.
He's going to have to pitch more than 4 innings.
I guarantee you.
Right?
If they are down 2-1 going into a game 4, he's going to be called upon.
He's gonna
he have has to,
pitch,
to be.
But he's going
he
to be. He's going to have to pitch more than 4 innings.
Oh, no
right?
doubt. That's a
he
that's
allowed
a,
five
yes.
And oh, and by the way, you can't give 7 hits on 5 runs.
You cannot afford to have Kershaw do that again. You can't. Because you're not going to have a chance in the series.
Not your ace. No way.
Not your ace. I mean, Ruoff.
What?
But you see what
I'm saying? Wait.
I just said Ruoff.
Wait, who are you talking about?
The next guy behind him.
Say it.
Ruoff.
There you go.
Ryu.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know why
I keep
saying
it's okay.
Ruoff. It's because
okay.
The Rangers have a guy named Ruoff.
I think we all the Rangers don't deserve to be mentioned in this topic. We're talking about championship baseball right now.
No, just for some reason that my name popped in my head because somebody on the Rangers that's called Ruoff, but it's actually Ryu.
Yeah.
He's been just as good this season. I mean, his ERA is under 2 for the entire season, so that means something, right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, yeah, Chris Sale. I mean,
but if Ruoff or Ryu.
Just stop while you're ahead. Keep going.
We all
know what you mean.
If Ryu doesn't do well tonight, man, it's going to be a long series because you need those two guys on if you're going to have a chance. And you obviously need the bullpen to be on if you're going to have a chance. You can't afford to be making mistakes against such a quality lineup.
Are you done with your point? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm good.
Okay. So is Clayton Kershaw, where does Clayton Kershaw rank on? Yeah, I'm zoning in on him. Where does he rank all time? Because I think this is an issue that needs to be talked about. All time.
Okay.
Where's he rank?
I'll give it to you when you say the playoffs he isn't the greatest.
No, but I'm just
He's
saying in general.
Good the last
where
couple
does he rank?
Of years.
All time. Not just in the playoffs, but just baseball.
In general?
Yeah.
He's definitely top to 3.
I think he's the
all
best.
All time. I think he's the best.
I think he's the best pitcher I've ever seen.
He is the best pitcher I've ever seen.
So,
at least in the regular season. Playoffs, he's been good, particularly the last couple
better.
Of years. He's been better. Okay.
But you
I'll
cannot
you
be
that.
Outperformed by Sale. 5 hits, 3 runs,
I mean,
and then he gets 7 hits and 5 runs.
Keep in mind, Sale is really
Sale's
good
great,
too.
But
Sale,
he ain't no Clayton Kershaw.
No.
No, he's not.
I
and
love
so,
Chris Sale too.
That's my takeaway from deal. The that's my takeaway from the Dodgers is
that's why it was disappointing to not see the matchup that we were hoping for. That's the only thing I think I was disappointed about last night was the fact that we were expecting this crazy pitcher's duel.
Yeah.
And it just turned into an offensive montage.
But here's the thing. If they can do that to Clayton on the first go-around, what makes me believe that they can't do it the second time?
Well, how about we look at the first or the NLCS, for example?
Okay.
So the first game that Clayton Kershaw allowed, 5 runs in the first couple innings? It was pretty bad. But after the second start he had in that series, he made some adjustments, and that's what you got to do. And what's to say that he can't do the same thing in this series? As you just made a point, why can't they do it again?
Yeah,
why can't he make adjustments?
The first game, he only pitched in that series, he only pitched 3 innings.
That was
6 hits, 5 runs.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty rough.
That's a bad one.
If Clayton Kershaw does not bounce back in his second start, this series will be as good as over.
What does that say about Clayton Kershaw's legacy, then, if he can't do that? If he can't close the deal in a World Series, and we say he's the best pitcher of all time in the regular season. Because it's nice.
Look,
He looks good in other rounds, but if you can't get the job done, what does that mean for his legacy?
Honestly,
can we even put him up there?
This next game
okay, that
he starts is going to be the biggest game of his career.
I agree.
He has to come out firing. He cannot afford to have another bad outing. He just can't.
No.
This is the World Series. You cannot afford to make mistakes, especially twice.
Not when you're considered the best pitcher ever
exactly, by
people.
Exactly. And that's my point. You have to come out ready to play. Otherwise, oh man, this series is going to be over. And the Dodgers just took a 2-1 lead.
They sure did.
Just a quick little update on that.
Which I'm trying to keep up with. I'm pretty sure Boston's going to come back and and tie that up or take the lead.
We'll see.
But not. You're absolutely right. This is a career defining series and moment
game.
And game. Yes,
coming up
for Clayton Kershaw.
Look, Kershaw's going to have to start two more times in the series if you're going
to
win.
For Boston to win, and you're picking LA in seven.
I said
for LA to win.
I said Kershaw's going to have to pitch two more times in the series.
And then, if he doesn't, are you out on the Dodgers?
No. Not just yet. Tonight is a big one. The big deteriorator. If they can win this game, I'll still feel pretty good at where we stand going 1-1 in Boston. But considering that Boston hasn't lost a home or a road game yet this postseason, yikes.
Well, you know, this is the Dodgers' chance because they got David Price on the mound. Mm-hmm. We all know what that guy is.
Especially against Texas.
What's his ERA now? What am I looking at? Oh, 4.91. Oh, at least it went down from 20.
I mean, he had a good start in game 5 against the Astros, but...
Well, a dead clock strikes twice a day, so...
That's true.
Congratulations to David Price.
I mean, he was bound to have one eventually, but we all know what the real David Price is like in the playoffs.
True. No, but I just think the bats for Boston are just too much.
I agree with you.
You do?
In a sense.
Okay.
If anyone can do it, I think it's this team.
This Dodgers team?
They have to be on top of it, or they are just going to load it out. It's hard to stop this offense. It's almost as scary as our 2011 offense, the Rangers.
They're losing right now, but look, the hits, it's 4-2 right now in hits for Boston. So you can already see they're getting 4-3. Sorry.
Yes.
So you can see they're already getting that's four hits. They're already getting the bats on the ball.
The thing is
within
for the Dodgers,
first four innings.
The thing is with for the Dodgers, another key factor is making sure you score runs any way you can at any time you can, because if you give up an opportunity, that could be your killing moment in a game in this series. You have to score whenever the opportunities are presented, because they're not always going to be there.
Yeah, you're right.
You cannot waste chances.
Great point. You can. Not leave runs on the field.
And that's why I believe the Dodgers lost the first game. Because they left a lot of guys on base.
They sure did.
And they blew a lot of chances.
There was multiple times where multiple times they had guys on third and second in scoring position, and they couldn't get it in.
And there was even a couple times where they had guys on first and second with nobody out, and they only come out with one run. Like you have to score at least two or three runs there. You have to come up with a crooked number.
Not good enough for against a team that won 108 games this year.
Oh, man, no.
No. Not going
to
happen.
You're going to have a pretty lights-out game pitching-wise
you're
going to want to win like that.
Clayton Kershaw, series-defining. No.
Career-defining series.
Career-defining series, career-defining game. We will see what he can do later. I think Boston's going to get this in five.
I might give you six,
but I'm not giving you seven. You think LA in seven?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still think so.
We'll keep watch.
I'm not going to turn back from my pick.
Is there a chance? So if they go seven, are we going to be here next week? I can't remember the schedule.
Yes.
We'll be
here for game seven.
Game seven? Okay.
We won't even get to watch.
That's
it.
Okay. We will. I'll pull it up in here, but we will.
Okay.
We will assess that if it gets to that point. I don't think it will, but that's all the time we have for this segment. Coming up next, another LA team. Possibly in danger.
Uh-oh.
LeBron's Lakers. LeBron. Hey. What's going on, Micah? They are 0-3. Is it time to panic for the Los Angeles Lakers? Coming up here on the hot seat, only on UTARadio.com. Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTARadio.com, iHeartRadio, Radio FX, and always Facebook Live, streaming live as well with live score updates from the Mavs game, which is getting a little interesting. Micah Caw Cole, as always, before we get into that, my name is Creighton Branch. The guy next to me, Micah Cole. It's getting a little heated. What's the score right now?
It's 101-100. Mavs are at the line for two free throws.
We choked that game away, didn't we?
We were up by 25 in the second quarter. Should I even be surprised? I told you earlier. Hey,
What'd you tell me?
I just told you, hey, I'm not going to trust anything.
You were buying into this. You were buying into this Dallas team.
No, I know, but whenever we had the 25-point lead, I was telling you, though. Based on last year, I'm not trusting anything until I see him close it out. And, man, woe and behold.
Fair enough.
The worst fears are coming back to haunt me.
But it's only fitting that we mentioned that because we're about to get into some basketball, some NBA basketball, Micah Cole. Things are not looking so good for the newly formed Los Angeles Lakers. They are now officially 0-3 on the season. You know, this team had a lot of hype coming in this year because of, you know, the one and only LeBron James. And their first couple of games, first with the Trailblazers, 128-119, 124-115, and 143-142. That was to the Rockets and the Spurs, respectively. Micah, that's 0-3. It's the first time LeBron James has been 0-3 since his debut in Cleveland that season. Is it time for the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James to panic already?
No.
No?
Not yet. I don't think so. I mean, trust me, I know LeBron James.
You know LeBron James?
You know that he's going to eventually come through with it.
He didn't think that was a joke.
I mean, but we all know what's going to happen. At least based on right now, I'm not too worried about what they're going to do. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. It's three games.
They have to, or we're going to look like fools.
It's just going to take a little bit of time for them to get used to it. I mean, as a team, I mean, LeBron will figure it out. He'll get in the playoffs. He'll find a way. He always does. Let's be honest. Even in a tough West.
But this is different. This is, yeah, exactly. This is the West.
I know.
The West.
You can't afford to, like, continue to lose, but it's the start of the season.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing about the West.
Even OKC's 0-3 right now. Like,
that's the, I mean, like, yeah, but that's not, this is LeBron James we're talking about. So what I'm saying is, but like, and he, this is the first time he's been over in the West. And the thing about the West is, I get it, it's early in the season, but every game in the West matters because we know it's going to come down to the last day of the season and the 6, 7, and 8 spot. I think we saw last year the 2 could drop to a 7, right? Yeah.
Or was that the year? I can't remember. It was something
three,
like that.
It was like where a 3 goes to a 6 or something like that, but that's how close it is. And the 5, the 6, the 7, and the 8 can drop out of the playoffs, and the 9 can spike all the way up.
Exactly. And so, didn't OKC come from like 7 all the way up to 4 on the last
exactly.
day of the season?
No, that, and that's why they like played that. Utah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the every game matters. So I'm like, man, if you're 0-3, and they're not, I mean, they're looking better on offense, but
that defense.
But their defense is bad. But on the offensive side, yes, they're scoring more points, but man, they cannot close the deal.
No,
so this is my and my next thing is LeBron James, did he choke that game away from the other night against San Antonio? Because he took the last shot, and it was a terrible shot. It was a step back, almost a three-pointer at that point. He had 1 foot over the line, 1 foot inside. I was like, what are you doing? So I think he's scared to take free throws, honestly. I think that goes ahead and you know, validates our point there.
And honestly, LeBron hasn't been exactly the greatest free throw shooter, I would say.
No, he hasn't. And I think that's why he's scared to do it.
And, you know, that's something he really needs to work on, is free throws more than anything, because he's sucked at that.
Some say he's the
entire career.
Some say, I'm sorry, I stepped over you. I mean, some say, oh, you finish, go for it.
He's not Shaq, but he's still not great at free throws.
Some say he's the best player to ever live, yet he can not shoot free throws very well.
That's
just the best way to put that. But he's averaging 27.3 points right now. So that tells you he's carrying the load on this team, as expected. His rebounding is, he's got 8 rebounds per game, which I'm a little surprised about, because I thought Lonzo Ball would be a much better rebounder so far. I mean, he's not bad, but I just thought he'd be leading the team. He's a really great rebounding point guard.
Yeah,
really great
is.
Rebounding point. Has an eye for the ball.
It's surprising.
Knows for the ball.
A lot of point guards can't rebound.
Exactly. He's like Russell Westbrook in a way. Except the thing with Russell Westbrook, they kind of just like clear the lane and let him get it. I mean, Zoe goes after and gets it. And, you know, he's not leading an assist, obviously. That's Rajon Rondo. But
go figure.
I know. But, you know,
where was
and
that
he's
with
not.
The Mavs?
And here's the thing about LeBron James. He's averaging 39.7 minutes a game already, 3 games in. So he's not getting any rest whatsoever on this team
because
either.
They can't afford to have him out of
no,
the game.
No, exactly. So it's almost like a whole Cleveland situation again. Do I think they're better than Cleveland last year? Yeah, I think the talent is better. But
you're also playing in the Western
exactly,
Conference.
Exactly.
Well,
about to get to
the difference.
And that's a major issue. And you know what else? I think I could shoot the 3 ball better than these guys. It is horrible. It is so bad. It's terrible. I can't even remember. I don't have the stat in front of me, but what was that first game? I mean, what did they they went 0 for like 15 or something like that right off the bat. I mean, it took them forever. And so I'm just like, dang, this team has a lot of work. And LeBron said that in his press conference the other day during practice. He said that it was gonna be a process. And so this is a test for the king, man. I'm not gonna call him the king, you know, but like for who people say he is the king, because he's not the best player. But no, it's a test for him.
Maybe right now, but
yeah, currently
active.
I'll tell you what though. Side point, he looks good in that purple and gold though. Set aside from all the losses, he looks really good in the purple gold. I think he was meant to be there. He was meant to be in Hollywood. It's nice to see him there. Way better than Cleveland. No disrespect to Cleveland, but it's LA, man. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, I don't know. Like, do they panic? I think you kind of have to start going that way because I don't see this team getting any better on the perimeter for 3-point shooting. I mean, it's not like these guys are going to get better overnight. The only person that has a promise is I know he wasn't good last year. He shot below 30%, but Lonzo Ball shot 41%, 45% in college. Now, granted, the 3-point line in college is a little bit closer than the NBA one, but something's there with Zoe. So maybe he's got promise. Brandon Ingram is about your only option, I think, that you can trust. LeBron James, suspect, and then everybody else is suspect too. So I think that hurts a lot, and especially in a day and age when the three-point game is so prominent, you know? And so, I mean, I'm worried for him. What do you think?
I mean, I still don't think yet. They're getting there, though, but really, it's not going to take much more time before it's really time to start pulling the panic button. But, I mean, it's still way too early. I don't know why it's time to worry, but I'd start thinking that way if it keeps happening.
I mean, they allowed 143 points to the Spurs.
That's pretty bad.
That's awful.
See, the reason that I say that I'm not too worried for them yet is because nobody's really had success defensively yet. Nobody has in the NBA except maybe Denver as an exception. Like, look at all these teams, like, scores. Like, I've seen, like, the 130s and 40s, it seems like, a couple times a night, it seems like. Like, it hasn't been uncommon yet.
Yeah.
So it's like, defensively, I think it'll come around, but I don't know.
And so here's this, you know, their percentage from the first game, 23%. Off the line, on the three-point line. That's terrible. The next game against Houston, 25% from the three-point line.
That's pretty bad.
Nah, it's bad. Are you yawning on air?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And against San Antonio, 35%. That's not good enough.
I mean, that's better, but it's not.
That's not going to win you games, especially in today's age. If San Antonio, you know, if San Antonio's shooting 53% from the three-point line in that game.
Maybe if you have 100 offensive rebounds, who knows? But
well, they certainly didn't have that.
No,
they had 52
total rebounds.
I think you gotta worry a little bit if you're LeBron James, because I mean, here's the thing about that is where's the improvement gonna be? They've all been there for a while, you know. Lonzo is now a sophomore, so we'll see with him. But Brandon Ingram's been there for a while. Rajon Rondo's a veteran in this league. He's not bad. He's good. I'll give him a pass. I mean, he's doing okay. JaVale McGee, you know, he's good on the defensive side, but he's almost an offensive liability at this point. It's like, what are we doing? Lance Stevenson, I don't think he's looking okay, but he ain't looking like the Lance Stevenson we knew way back, you know? I think it's time to give that up, too. Yeah, I think it's time to give that up.
But Lance Stevenson was more of a guy to just get into LeBron's head, but that's for another day.
That's why he brought him on the team, because he was tired of dealing with him. He was scared of Lance. But yeah, and so they
always struggle with the Pacers whenever he was there for some reason, but as I said, another story for another day.
True. And they go and play Phoenix next, Denver, and then San Antonio again. I don't know if they win any of those games. They definitely ain't winning
not
Denver.
If they, not if they play.
They're not playing. They're playing Denver and Los Angeles. I don't think they're winning that game.
I don't.
And then they're playing Phoenix and San Antonio there.
Oh, gosh.
Then they got to go play Minnesota.
Is that four straight road
then
games?
They got to play to Dallas. They play two straight road games, San Antonio, Dallas, and Minnesota. Then they play Dallas, Portland, Toronto. We got to see, man. This might not end pretty for the Lakers after all that, after all the hype.
It's, gosh. You got to win the games you're supposed to, and they haven't done that.
That's you're absolutely right. It might get ugly for the King here down the stretch, but that is all the time we have for this segment. Up next, it was a crazy college football weekend.
Sure was.
And once again, some things happened we didn't see coming.
Oh, man.
We're going to get into that and also a little bit of the playoff because that's going to start next Tuesday, the
Maybe
rankings.
Maybe we make our home predictions.
We'll see.
We'll see.
That's coming up here on the Hot Seat. You're listening to UTARadio.com.
Welcome back to the Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. I'm Micah. Call.
Yes.
Cole, alongside my co-host, the Birdman, Creighton Branch.
That's right.
Got to get that household name out there just like you want me to get mine out there.
We're working on it.
Oh, yeah. But we are back here on the Hot Seat bringing a little college football. Some unexpected stuff happened this weekend, Creighton. Here on the radio. Yes, sir. On the radio, some unexpected things happened.
What are you talking about?
Over in Purdue. A lot of interesting things went on over there. What are some of your thoughts on that game over there, Mr. Creighton Branch?
Well, this weekend, I'll give the stat lines because we need them to, you know, as always, to kind of base off. Yeah, Purdue played Ohio State. This was one of those games that I did not see coming. Did you see coming?
Oh, no. Anyone that did, please fill out my lottery ticket for Powerball.
It's already over, Micah.
No, for Powerball, because they still have the $600 million.
Wait, what was the one that just won?
That was something else.
Was that Texas Millions? No way,
like
that was Texas Millions. Really? Texas Millions got to $1.5 billion?
No. It was
I've never
some
seen
other,
that. It had
I know
to have
it
been
wasn't Powerball.
It had to have been Powerball.
There was
really?
Two that were super high.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. Go look it up right now.
It won Powerball?
Huh?
It won Powerball?
Nobody yet. It's tonight.
So what's Powerballs right now?
It's like $640 million.
Really?
Yeah. I'm serious. Look it up.
Okay. I'll look it up.
I haven't looked, so I don't know. Fill out our lottery tickets. We'll split it.
Right? So they went in. Ohio State went to Purdue. And I guess a good word to use is just got manhandled is a nice way to put it.
Purdue made themselves look pretty good out there.
Right. So Purdue won 49-20. As always, we'll assess the quarterbacks. Dwayne Haskins for Ohio State. It's unfortunate. He had a really, really good stat sheet. 470 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. The defense for Purdue played good, so that's okay. The interception I can forgive. With the 63 quarterback rating. That's pretty good for college. And then David Blau, I apologize for butchering your name. One of the two. At least I admit it here on the Hot Seat.
Good job, Creighton.
Had 378 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, and a QBR of 72. That's really good for college. Micah, the point I'm getting to here is we saw this last year with Ohio State. The 33-point Iowa game.
That was unforgivable.
The unforgivable Iowa game. By the way, before I keep going, the line was OSU 12.5. Yeah.
That's like a 40-point swing almost.
That's terrible. That's so bad. But yeah, so
I think it was a 41-point swing.
Like last year. That's basically what it was like last year. Like last year, the Iowa game was the deal breaker for Ohio State. So getting right into it, is this Purdue game going to be the same thing this year? For Ohio State.
I think it depends on if they lose another game. The good news for Ohio State is it was only their first loss. But if they have another one, they're done. There's no chance. But the good news for them is they still have a clear road to get to the conference championship. If you win that, I think you still have a shot. But it's going to be tough, especially with a lot of really good teams there at the top that you have to deal with. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be really tough. But if a couple things go their way, maybe they still have a shot.
And then before you continue, Blau is the correct way to say it.
Blau?
So I said it right.
Oh, well.
I know. We're good here in the hot seat. We're getting better. Our dictionaries, you know, thesauruses, whatever you want to call them at this point. Continue.
But yeah, I don't think it's done yet, but man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
You know what? It upsets me, honestly, that this team walks around, and this is a team that I thought, when I went to the TCU Ohio State game, covered that one. They were so fast, man, and they're huge. Okay, I was thinking this team can beat Alabama. Alabama looks really good this year, and I was like, I think this team might have it. But it's so frustrating, and I'm not really an Ohio State fan, but at least I respect their talent that they drop games like this, and in the process they made
Alabama wouldn't drop a game like this.
No. No, they wouldn't. You're right, actually. Now that I think about it. And that's why.
When was the last time they dropped a game against a team that was not in the top 25?
That was 3-3 at the time.
That was
Purdue was 3-3.
That's even on the road.
Yeah.
That's
no, it's been the only time Alabama loses is either to LSU, which we haven't seen in a bit, and then Auburn.
And sometimes maybe Ole Miss, you can throw
Ole Miss
in there.
With a Chad Kelly. That was a really good college player, and a Dak Prescott who is now the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So you see,
he played for Mississippi State.
He did.
Dak Prescott,
and they beat him 1 year.
They did.
They beat him. Yeah.
Dang.
That's where Dak got his name. That's when Mississippi State went into the top four.
That makes sense.
And so, it's very frustrating to see Ohio State like this when they got the talent, they got the players. They shouldn't lose these games. If anything,
not.
The only game they should lose is the Michigan game, which I'm about to ask you about that. But these Purdue, I mean, like the games against Iowa and Purdue, these are games you should win, man.
You got it.
And then, but it's because you
I don't even care if you're playing on the road. These,
right?
This is a game. That...
And they made Purdue look like a top 10 team, honestly. that's how bad it was. I'm serious. I mean, like.
I honestly thought the roles were flipped. I thought Purdue was the
you're
number
not
two team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, and, man.
I mean, so did they not make DJ Knox, the running back for Purdue, number four, look so good. They made him look like a Heisman candidate at one point because 16 carries for 128 yards, three touchdowns, an average of 8 on every play. You can't stop him. They had no answer for him because they just fall asleep, and it's like, what are you doing?
It was just – it was a bad effort by Ohio State, period. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
Especially in that fourth quarter, they made really dumb mistakes.
So to me, the Michigan game coming up, that's a big one now, obviously, but that is now for Harbaugh flipping it to Michigan, that's a career game for him. He has to win it this year. Because if you win it, that's your shot to go to the Big Ten championship. That's
it. And a chance to have any kind of chance at
right.
the playoff.
And you're ranked 5 right now. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. But yeah, you're ranked 5. You
it
have
may
a,
not
you
be
ha-
anymore.
You, well, you'll see. You have a
or
chance.
LSU may not be anymore if,
true.
If they lose to Alabama.
Yeah, you have a chance to get into the Big Ten championship for the first time, legitimate first time since you got there, since the playoffs started. That's a big game for Jim Harbaugh. It's a big game for Urban Meyer too, and Ohio State. It's another. I mean, there should be no reason why this team's not in the top 5.
Yeah.
With if you lost to Penn State. I'll give you that one. But you don't lose to Purdue. That's or like Nebraska or anything like that. Or Maryland, you know?
I think that what beating Purdue is the only reason they still have a shot right now. Because
yeah.
That saved you winning coming back in that game. That saved you.
And it's just like I don't like the way that they disrespect their talent. It's like they fall asleep. They just They think that they're better than the people on the field that they're playing against. That's the issue sometimes. And then it comes back and bites them. So to my next point, when this all comes out next week with the college football playoff, where, and then I guess going forward too, where does this put an Ohio State kind of team in regards of, we were kind of talking about this earlier, top four, should if they don't win the championship, do they still get in? What if someone does? You know what I'm saying?
Ohio State won't get in if they don't win their championship at this point. That's just not happening.
That's true.
Not with a 30-point loss to Purdue.
No, you're right. And so there's this like, what my real question is what right now, let's say I can't think who's on the other side right now, but like, okay, but my point is, like, let's say that Ohio State goes back to the Wisconsin, goes back to the Big Ten Championship, has one loss but loses, but the other team has two losses and wins. What do you put now? What are we doing?
I don't think you put either one of them in.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you can make a case, but as I said, if you can't put in Ohio State in last year with the 30-point loss, you shouldn't be putting them in this year either.
Okay. See, that's the issue, is that it's all, to me, it's all,
see, the thing
we don't know anymore.
The thing with Auburn last year having any chance at all was because of the fact that they beat the number one team back-to-back weeks. That's the only reason I think they even had a chance to begin with. Like, because, I mean, that's hard to kind of question. It's not like they had bad losses.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
So my next point is, we'll get into this at the end of the segment right now. Does that mean that only conference champions should get in, or should we expand it? We'll touch on this a little bit. We'll dive deeper when it comes into play.
But the more we talk about this, the more like twisted I get with it. Like,
well, that's not good.
It's just complicated. Like, now I understand. The more we talk, as I just said, the more we talk about it, the more I understand kind of like how complicated it looks like to build like such a format. The fact that it is where it is right now is amazing. I mean, I love this 4-team playoff. It's way better than the BCS system that we used to have.
Yeah.
I love having a college football playoff. It's great. It's great for the game. And let's be honest, did you like the BCS system?
I thought it had a lot of issues.
Yeah, it did.
But it meant well.
Well, yeah.
But that's why they took it away, because computer can't tell.
Exactly.
It can give you all the numbers, but it doesn't know.
It's not. So like that's the why human they took eye. It away. That's why there's a difference.
But here's the thing: it's like, I still think that's an issue now. The human eye. I don't think they get it right still, most of the time.
I think they give too much credit to teams that just for having like one good win or whatever, in a sense.
Or like an Alabama team last year, which is unfortunate because this happened with Ohio State too. They get in without winning their conference championship, and then they win the whole thing. So it's almost like it validated it. And I'm like, I don't think that's still fair, even though they won the whole thing.
Now, there's two ways you can look at it. If you're looking at the most deserving teams, Alabama shouldn't have been in. And in a sense, you'd be right. Ohio State should have gotten in. But you aren't. But if you're looking at the best four teams, Alabama obviously was one of the best four teams last year. So, yes, they should have gotten in based on that. But which way should the committee be looking? Should they be looking for the most deserving? So Ohio State, because they won their conference championship and you forgive the 30-point loss? Or do you give Alabama the spot because they're one of the best four teams?
Isn't the point of the playoff the best four teams?
Exactly.
Isn't that their goal? So correct. Then I guess in that point.
So in that sense, yes, you want Alabama in there. As you said before, it
but
should
what
be the
point,
Alabama
what point
Invitational.
Does the, what, yeah, what point does the line cross where it's between... It's between the most deserving and the best. Because doesn't at some point what your resume has, like, or what
determine, I mean, if you're the best?
Oh yeah, exactly.
If you beat the best, you should get in.
Yeah, I mean,
but last year, who did Alabama beat?
Well,
that's Fresno State.
Fresno State. It's
okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Is like,
I still find
but
that
are
very
they one
strange.
Are they one of the best teams?
No.
Last year.
Oh, Alabama?
Yeah, last year.
Oh.
So that's the hard thing. That's the hard thing.
The championship validates it, but
so an Ohio State team, an Ohio State team last year that had to face a Michigan State, a Michigan, two were good teams.
And
Oklahoma, and Oklahoma at the preseason in the
and you also beat Penn State in the championship
before the conference.
It was Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was Wisconsin, but they played Penn State earlier in the year.
And Wisconsin
that's
was also
a better
undefeated.
Resume. That's a better resume than Alabama.
And Wisconsin was undefeated,
so
too.
Where's the line?
I know Wisconsin didn't have the greatest schedule, but they proved that they were a decent team last year.
True.
So, honestly, last year may have been the exception where I'd just say, I forgive the 30-point loss. I put Ohio State in over. They proved that they recovered from that. And they played good football. It's not like they were a bad football team.
Yeah.
They were a great football team, and they proved it in the championship.
True.
So where was the respect?
It's a tricky topic.
Let's be
honest.
If Wisconsin wins that, You obviously put in Wisconsin. You don't put in Alabama.
I agree. That's an
undefeated Wisconsin
it's
team.
It's a tricky situation that we're going to dive into later in the season, because now on Tuesday, the first rankings will be released from the committee, the College Football Committee.
I want to get your thoughts on that first.
What?
Before we wrap up this segment.
Well, my top,
who are,
my four?
Who are your top four?
Okay,
right
real quick, because we got to get
in
out
order.
Of this. Okay,
in
real
order.
Quick, because we got to get out of it. Okay. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, LSU, right
okay.
now.
Okay. I'm going to go off base. I'm going to make a pick for the A&M, or A&M. LSU Alabama game. So I'm going to go based on that.
Okay, go.
I'm going to pick Alabama to be the number one slot. Clemson, number two. Notre Dame, number three. Texas, number four.
Okay. Well, that's a bold statement. We'll see.
They have the resume to do it.
You're right. And it might,
they
it
have
might
three
get, and it
wins
might get better.
Top 25
right.
team. And I believe they have five wins against teams over 500.
Yeah, we don't,
if you include Baylor and.
True. We don't have enough time to get into it right now, though. We will dive into that in the coming weeks. Their resume can build. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's bold
and
right
they
now.
They still have a big game coming up against West Virginia, too.
That's correct. But so. That's all the time we have for this segment. Up next, we are getting into our favorite championship games, series, our little fun segment, as we always do. Take a break here on the hot seat. Just relax a little bit. And,
should be
and,
fun.
Yeah, and in, indulge in some fun topics. That's coming up here on the hot seat. You're listening to UTARadio.com.
Oh.
Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTARadio.com, Radio FX, iHeartRadio, and streaming on Facebook Live. My name is Creighton Branch. The man next to me, Micah, Kaw, Cole. Hot takes last time, segment.
That was really fun.
It's going to be fun to get into that. We're going to kind of stay on the same track talking about championships, but this is our fun little segment. Our little kickback segment
sometimes
here on the hot seat. Micah, right into it. I want to know what your favorite championship series is, your favorite championship game, favorite championship, whatever. What do you got for me?
I know you're going to give me some crap
for it. I think I know where you're going with this,
though. You're
going
to give me some crap for this, but there's nothing like a World Series game.
Is that so?
And I've been to one myself.
The World Series,
huh? I've been to one myself, and there is nothing like it. It is so much fun. It is just quite the experience just to be there at one of those games. And I've also been to an NBA playoff game. Unfortunately, I've not been to a finals game. But just being in that atmosphere in such a massive game, 50,000, 55,000 people just shouting at the top of their lungs the entire game. There's just nothing like it. It was so much fun. I really loved the World Series. Everything about it. Usually, and I was lucky to be there Cliff Lee's final night as a Ranger.
Oh, man, Cliff Lee.
That was quite some time ago, 2010.
He used to be a really good player.
He was a really fantastic player. Maybe he'll sneak into the Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
Maybe.
Hey-o.
He was a really good player. I believe he had 2,000 strikeouts.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head.
But he was a really good player. I miss that player. I miss that guy.
Well, I'm definitely not going World Series, even though I understand the magnitude of what that is. That's a huge thing. I get it. It is.
Hey, we all have our own opinions. So.
Well, that's true. But that is a huge series. Tickets cost a lot. There's only
big event, too.
You know, a big event. It's been around forever. Baseball, you traditionalist, I'm talking to you, love it. But that's not me. I'm not going a series. I wanted to say the NBA Finals because basketball is hands down my favorite sport.
I love basketball too.
And that is a big thing to me. And I think what it entails, I think it's close to the magnitude of a World Series almost at this point. Because there's a lot of star power that comes with those games, man. It's a lot of fun. But I'm not going there. I am going to the World Cup final is
Ooh.
What I'm picking. I think that's my favorite, and I think that's the best championship game. Because
that is a pretty fun one.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, what that game entails, just for the countries that are playing in it, you saw this year Croatia getting into the final for the first time. That was a huge deal. what it means to those people, for that for those countries that get into that final and possibly win that thing, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
No doubt.
Yeah, no doubt at all.
I remember watching that game myself, and I was just like, dude, those countries have to be going nuts. That was I'm a more relatively new soccer fan. Not this previous World Cup, but the one before was kind of where I started getting into it. And I noticed real quick that the World Cup is a big deal to a lot of countries outside of the U.S. I wish the U.S. would get into it a little bit more because it's so much fun to watch.
People
are missing out.
Don't get me started on the U.S. soccer.
I'm not talking about U.S. soccer. I'm saying, in general.
Oh, in general.
Fans
okay.
in the U.S. should go in and watch this a little more because it is so much fun.
Yeah, because...
How can you not like this?
No, like...
It's easily one of the best sports.
It's the most popular sport in the world. But the final, like how long it takes. Everybody knows it's a 4-year gap between each World Cup. The qualifying time is 2 years. It takes 2 years to qualify, and then it's a whole month of soccer, and teams load up on their players. This is where the academies shine, where you see the work that's being done, and the lower level academies for each country. There's some teams where, I mean, this is their life, man. This is what they live for. And for that to be a moment, I think that you can't compare it, because it's not like, here's the thing about the World Series.
It comes every year.
I might not live to see United States World Cup win. I hope I will. But the way it's going right now, I don't know if I will. And that's what's funny. I think at one point I might see a Texas Rangers win. I got a lot more chances to see that. But you got, and for the players playing on the team too, you get maybe 3 or 4 chances if you're lucky. To play that long. You get possibly 4 chances to have a crack at it.
Depends on when you come in, I guess.
And you gotta play the best of the best, man, and it's one game. When you get into those knockout stages, and that's it.
That's all you get.
And then you get to the World Cup final, and it's it, man. That's one game, 90 minutes to decide it all. Yeah, and your countries, if you win, you're a hero. If you lose, you're hated forever. There's nothing like this. There's nothing like the World Cup final.
No, there isn't, man.
I
love the World Series, but I guess I kind of overlooked that.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm not going to switch it.
Oh, okay.
I love my World Series. It's just I kind of overlooked that whenever the World Cup, like I tend to forget.
Now, the World Series is a good one.
I'm not getting on you for that.
It's a what?
It's the fall classic.
It's where legends have been born. Where most of our stories about baseball come from.
And another one that was a close second right behind was the Stanley Cup final.
Hockey?
Yeah. You usually can't go wrong with the Stanley Cup final. I think you could agree. You saw last year's final. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, no, it was fun for the most part.
I know it was 5 games, but yeah. it didn't feel like 5 games based on how close the games were and how entertaining it was. There were two unique stories. You had Ovechkin trying to win that elusive ring, and you had Vegas first season after the Las Vegas shootings.
Which was incredible. The story was great.
Phenomenal story.
No, the story was great.
It made it hard for me to decide which way to go.
Well, the Las Vegas should have won, but no, it was a fun series. I mean, I wanted Las Vegas to win. They didn't win. That's okay. But I'm just, I don't.
That's
I can't.
A lot to ask
I get
for
what y'all are saying about
franchise.
The Stanley Cup, but I just can't get on board yet about it because I think if I had to rank it, I'd go soccer first, World Cup final. NBA playoffs, no, yes, Super Bowl, World Series, Stanley Cup.
Okay,
that's how I'd do it. That's just my personal preference. I know a lot of people are gonna depends because every sport's different.
That's true.
Not everybody takes as much credit into it. Like tennis, they love it. I mean, like
Wimbledon,
like it's important.
Too.
Yeah, tennis is important.
That's also towards the top of my list.
Okay, the Wimbledon final. Yeah, I would be like okay with that.
There's been some mighty classics, especially in the last few years.
Well, yeah, but mighty classics, but like what that game entails is what I'm saying. Yeah, I get that. But now the Olympics, I don't know. For some sports, soccer, soccer doesn't take it too much. You know, I mean it's great, but obviously you want to win the World Cup before you win the Olympics. We take it into account, but is it really what we want? No. NBA is for sure nobody cares. I mean, I'm talking about basketball, sorry. But it should be the NBA. We rule. And, yeah, it's just too many sports care or don't care. So, and that's out for me. I know a lot of people want to put the Super Bowl up there.
I know.
It's great, but I still don't think it means near as much as
a World Cup final.
Preference, it's third on my list, but I could see it going two. But I don't think it could pass the World Cup final for what the World Cup stands for. That is the pinnacle of everything. You work your whole life for that moment, and it's incredibly hard to get on that team.
And I could also see why somebody would pick the Olympic finals. Because think about it, you're still playing for your country. That's still a big deal, right?
Well, that's true.
So, like, I could see why somebody might put a specific sport, maybe, or whatever, up there in that list. But obviously, as we said before, we all have our different opinions on this. I mean, I like where you went with your World Cup pick. And I'm sure, and I love my World Series as well.
Yeah, you're about to say, I think you liked Ryan. I was like,
No, but I love my World Series pick. It's hard to beat something like that.
And I get, I mean, like, and I've never, I mean, like, I've never been. So I know you going, you have, you've seen it and you've experienced it. And I'm sure that plays into your fact, I mean, plays into your choice, does it not?
It definitely does.
Yeah.
It helps being there and understanding what it's like.
Which one? You went to the
2010
when we got ramrocked.
Yeah. But game five was still fun.
Yeah. No. Was that the one we won or lost? We lost that one.
We lost game five.
What was the score?
3-1.
3-1. Man. I went
Cliff
to.
Lee did so well, and then he threw that one ball down the middle.
I went to game five of the NBA Finals, the championship run for the Mavericks. That was a lot of fun.
Speaking of that run, I went to game three of the semifinals. Against the Lakers.
Oh, that's right.
That was a really fun game.
When we embarrassed the whole team.
Oh, no. That was game four.
No, I'm saying, but the series.
The series in general, we embarrassed.
But no,
game four was kind of funny.
That's my take. I think it's the World Cup final. You think it's the World Series. You know, I don't see how you can do World Series, but that's okay. We'll agree to disagree. That's fine. That's all the time we have for this segment. Up next. Oh, you know what's coming, Micah.
Oh no.
I'm not gonna say what we're talking about. I'm just gonna say we're gonna be calling for one man's job once again. I think you have an idea of who it's going to be. That's coming up. I'm not gonna say anymore. I'm gonna leave it there. Also, a trade happened with that team as well. We're gonna get into that. This is the Hot Seat. You're listening here on UTARadio.com.
Welcome back to UTARadio.com. This is the Hot Seat alongside my co-host, the Birdman, Creighton Branch, and myself, Micah Cole.
Micah Caw Cole. It is getting
hot in here.
No, that's what I was going to say. It's getting hot in here. Okay, it's getting hot in here, sure. But the name's catching on, I think.
Yeah, it really is.
Update, what's the score to the game?
It is 4-2. Boston Red Sox in the bottom of the fifth inning. JD Martinez hit a bases loaded.
What?
Hit a bases loaded clearing or bases clearing.
It looks really weird there.
A bases clearing double.
Okay. And
with
then
the bases loaded.
Go ahead and tell the folks what happened in the Mavs game.
The Mavs choked a 25-point
lead. Oh, no. We
but
did.
But that's the least of my concerns right now.
We sure did.
Because the Cowboys absolutely ticked me off this weekend. So
that's
let's
right.
Get into that real quick.
We'll get into it. And then on the phone line, we have Truett Teague. You're live with the Hot Seat here. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How are y'all doing?
We are doing fantastic. So, yeah, we're going to get right into these Cowboys. Truett, I want to get your take here first on the game Sunday. Was not what we saw the game before with the Jaguars win. What's going on with these Cowboys, buddy?
I think it's a mix of a lot of things. I know a lot of people are calling for Jason Garrett. A lot of people are calling for Lenihan, and then a lot of people are putting all the flack on Dak. But I think part of the reason, I think you can definitely put some blame on Dak there. He was holding on to the ball way too long. A lot of people said the O-line was breaking down, and while they may not be blocking as well as they did in 2016, there were plenty of plays where there were people open. He just got hot feet and started scrambling before when he didn't need to. If he had just gotten rid of the ball, the play was there. I think the defense has been playing incredible, and they continue to do so. They didn't get 20 points on us. But me personally, I think one of the biggest things goes down to Linehan and the play calling, because I don't understand how you can go from Jacksonville to just a completely differently called game altogether. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do you think that, and we've been saying this with the play calling, do you think it's ruining Dak's career or his glory years?
I don't think so. I think Dak's glory years are probably within the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, I think he's still got a lot of development to go, because I think if we were to release him, somebody else would pick him up, and I think in the right scheme, he would come back to bite us really hard. I think they're trying to force him to play a style that's just not him at all.
And that's what it feels like, is that he's being forced to do something he's not comfortable with. I don't know how I feel about that, Michael. What do you think?
I mean, it just depends, really. I mean, I'm still a little iffy with Dak Prescott, but I don't have enough evidence to show why he can't be good. I mean, he's shown his sparks. I mean, I just think he needs some more development. But I also like how far he's come from where he began, and especially after last year, he had to deal with a lot of adversity. Zeke being suspended, the offensive line wasn't quite where it needed to be, and then this year, you know, he came in again. I mean, he hasn't looked great, but he's had moments of being there in big moments.
And then
before we go on, I have a question. Do you think he should have taken the sack in the end zone to only be down 5?
You asking me or Truett?
Both of y'all.
What do you think, Truett?
I mean, the easy thing from the outside looking in is to say, yeah, but, I don't know. That's a crazy, and this could go back to the coaching staff. They would have had to have prepared him beforehand, because I think there might be two people in the NFL that could on the fly have the wherewithal to make that decision, because on every other play but that one, your whole focus is don't get sacked, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Let me get sacked. But,
well, then let me rephrase the question for you. Do you think he was trying to be a little too flashy with the play by trying to break away?
I don't think so. I think it kind of goes back to, I'd have to look at the play again, but I think you could make the case that he held on to the ball too long.
Because I think that there was chances where he could have gotten that ball away on that play as well, like just to throw it away. And I think he definitely should have. So it's an interesting topic for discussion.
That's where I think the development stuff comes in, because if you look at there's very few quarterbacks that we think of as incredible elite quarterbacks that came in year one as the starting QB and are now the elites. The elites all had 3-4 years of grooming and riding the pine and being mentored, so that by the time they got in the game, they'd learned everything and had been taught everything that Dak is being forced to learn on the fly.
So do you think that we need to go into a different direction, or do we just stick with Dak, wait for him to develop?
I'm a firm believer in stay the course.
Okay, me too.
That's just where I'm at. I think it is going to take, I tell people all the time, would I be upset if they let go of Jason Garrett? No, but I'm not the one saying he's the one that needs to go right now. If it came down to a coaching move, I would be 100% on board with a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm saying. I've been telling everybody, it's like, I don't think people call for Dak's job a lot. I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback, because you can see flashes of it where he is really good.
And I think, in a sense, though, the offensive coordinator is holding him back from his true potential. Because remember, that first year, they were running a college-style offense.
Right.
Like, do you need to go back to that scheme so he's comfortable again?
That's the part that makes no sense to me. And because they've seen what works, and one week they use what works, and another week it's like they don't even try it. And that's what doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know if that's, maybe that is a Jason Garrett issue, and he's saying, no, we're not running that offense. Our goal is to run Zeke, and then when they load the box, we'll pass downfield. Dak's a pocket passer. Maybe it is Jason Garrett. I don't know, but it's crazy to me that you can see success and then completely ignore it the next week.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened with the Jacksonville game, and I was like, what's going on? But going into the next part, this Amari Cooper trade, We gave away our first round pick, which I think is okay. What do you think about that? That whole trade.
I think it's I'm happy about it. Do I think it was a lot to give up? Yes, but and I'm not going to say I'm a big draft expert or anything, but I don't think you look at this year's this coming up draft and see a bunch of Calvin Ridley's coming in the field. It's going to be at least 2 or 3 years before you get that, and I don't think anybody would argue the fact that the Cowboys needed a receiver. So if you're looking for first-round talent, it's not that they gave up a first-round pick. The way I look at it is they used their first-round pick a few months early.
That's true. And the thing I think about with the first-round picks we've had in the past is, like, I mean, Leighton Vander Esch, I'm going to say his name once again, Leighton Vander Esch, I mean, he's an all-right player, but is he a first-round pick? I'm not quite sure. We could have got a lot of guys with that first-round pick. So I think it was crucial that we used our resources to get a, and we know that Amari Cooper, we've seen it with Derek Carr, is a Pro Bowler kind of talent.
And to be fair though, and Vander Esch's defense, it's not like he's been terrible.
He hasn't been bad, but is he a first round pick?
He's also made some big plays too. Keep that in mind.
This is kind of where I look at that is Leighton Vander Esch somebody you would consider when you look at him, go, he's definitely a number one pick. No, but when it comes to drafting, the way that the Cowboys look at it, and I'm not saying this is the right or wrong way to look at it, it's just two different ways. You can either look at the draft as you take the best player available, or you have a game plan of this is where we are lacking and we have to go for that, and we're going to take the best player at that position that we need at that point in the draft, and I think that's what they did. And you could make the same argument for Amari Cooper is, they have to have a number one receiver. That's the number one thing they needed where they were lacking. So they made that move. And if you look at it, I think a lot of people call the Vander Esch pick a genius pick because you can already see the results from that with Sean Lee going down like we expected. And it wasn't like last year where we were, it was like if Sean Lee was out, it might as well have been no defense on the field.
So, but wasn't, I mean, a team need going into that draft was also a wide receiver. And we had a Ridley that was picked up, and he looks pretty okay. So why didn't we go for him instead at that point? Because we desperately needed a receiver, it looked like, at that point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Mm-hmm. I think you just can't have both, and they just picked one way or the other.
So hot take here. Do you think the Cowboys have a chance of winning the division? Because we've seen – the Redskins are obviously leading right now, but the Eagles aren't looking so hot, especially with the Giants, as we say, towards ACL. They don't really have a running game anymore. The Giants are being bad as they've always, you know.
And we both saw it today. Yeah. Apparently, they were trying to inquire about LeSean McCoy.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know if they're actually going to.
So do you think these Cowboys still have a chance to win this division and possibly make the playoffs?
I absolutely do. I think it's a big if, and I'm going to sound like Jason Garrett, but... If they execute, our favorite word, if they do what they're trying to do, they have the ability to win the division and make the playoffs. And one of the things that I see as an excitement for having Amari Cooper is a lot of people are going, Amari Cooper's not going to fix anything because Dak doesn't pass downfield. But at the same time, if they ignore Amari Cooper and he's running down the field with nobody on him, Dak can hit that.
Exactly.
And what I think the biggest benefit is I think he's going to benefit Zeke more than he benefits Dak.
I see. Yeah, I can see that.
Zeke running, if Zeke starts doing what Zeke does, it is impossible for them to lose the division.
True.
They can't stop it. Because then if they try to – and that's the thing is then if they start selling back out on stopping Zeke, they can't – well, now you've got Beasley – and Amari Cooper and Gallup on the field, you can't cover all of them. If it starts working the way on paper it should, we absolutely should win the division. Our defense is plenty good enough. Our defense is the only reason we're 3-4.
That's exactly right. But the frustrating thing is that the defense has played so good, and we remember, like, in the past couple of years that the defense was so atrocious,
how bad it was.
And now they're here. They're one of the top defenses. The line is fantastic, but our offense can't get it together. I mean, these teams are – I mean, our defense is, you know, stopping Carolina to 16 points. And, you know, most of these guys aren't scoring more than 20, but our offense can't score more than 20. And so it's so frustrating that we have this good of a defense, but we can't figure out an offense.
Now, just to give it a little clear, I don't think it's the offense that's terrible. It's just the inconsistency with the offense that's terrible.
Well, that's a terrible offense then.
But the offense has shown what they truly can be and should be. But I feel like and it goes back to the coaching, just terrible coaching on the offense. This is where I have a question. Should we let Jason Garrett come up in here, make the offensive play calls, just to see what the actual problem is?
Well, I think the first place, because you can look at it and say our offense is capable of putting up 40 points. I'm not saying 40 points a game, but we have the ability. We have an offense in there somewhere. And I think the first place you have to look is at the play calling. So whether it's you put Linehan on probation and let let Garrett start calling plays, or whether it's let Sanjay start calling plays, I don't know who, but something different has to change, because I think any person average intelligence or above could go, oh, Dak's better on the run. Let's start there and not pull that out halfway through the fourth quarter.
Real quick before we have to go, if the Cowboys do not win the division and miss the playoffs, who's on the hot seat? Who needs to go?
I think both Linehan and Garrett would be gone, but if it were one or the other, I would say Linehan would be gone first, because Jerry loves Garrett way too much.
That's right. It's his puppet.
Yeah,
it is. But no, I agree. I think one of the two have to go. I would like to see both, if not. But if both don't go, I personally want to see Jason Garrett
honestly,
gone.
Honestly, before we
last
go.
Point before you go, last point, Micah.
I would like to see Jason Garrett call the plays just to see, see.
Well, what's funny, just real quick, was Romo threw Garrett under the bus on Sunday.
Yeah. No.
Interesting.
Romo bailed Garrett out his entire career, and he talks about it all the time, because Romo called his own plays. They would call a play, and Romo would call what he saw.
Which is crazy.
So he made Garrett look incredible.
And then, and here we are. He's a head coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and then you can play the what if Romo was still here and Dak was riding the pine learning from Romo, where would we be in the next 3 years? But
I like Dak's skill set. I don't think it's time to quit on him. I think he's got something. I think he does.
I mean, yeah, he's going to make dumb mistakes, but that's part of the learning curve. That's just part of it.
True.
So it's not that he hasn't been good. He's made a lot of good flashes, and he's going to be good in the future if he keeps building
up. I think we will know for sure by the end of next season.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Cool.
I agree. But
Jerry's not going to sign him in the offseason already.
That's for sure. But, you know,
there will be no questions by the end of next year. We'll either start seeing the makings of something good, or it'll be the same that we've been seeing, and they'll be. And I think they're setting themselves up to be able to plan for the future after next year, because they're going to have well over $70 million in cap space next year.
Oh yeah, they should be. We're going to find out a lot about Dak Prescott in the coming year. That's for sure. And so, but that is all the time we have. Thanks, Truett, for joining in. It was a blast. Hopefully, the Cowboys finally win a road game sometime. That's for sure.
All I know is I'm not picking them to win a road game until they do again.
But thanks, man. It was nice talking to you once again.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you later. But we're going to see. The Cowboys have a lot of issues they need to fix right now, don't they?
I think the bye week comes at a good time. It's time to figure some stuff out.
That's absolutely true. It's nice to finally have a break from these daunted Cowboys. That's all the time we have on this segment, though. That's a lot of substance. I know the Cowboys are a lot to handle. Up next, we have the Dallas Mavericks. We're staying local. They're looking okay, even though they just blew that game. Well, I guess we're going to get into that actually now. I'm not happy about that. I'll have some words about it after this short break. You're listening to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to The Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. I'm Micah Cole, alongside the Birdman, Creighton Branch.
I need you right
Creighton's
now.
Creighton's having a nice time over here.
Karaoke night here at the hot seat, everybody, on UTARadio.com.
It's nice to get a little more relaxed after that ridiculous talking about Jason Garrett. Let's not go anymore.
I know.
I'm really frustrated with that game.
They
credit to the Redskins for coming out and winning, but
don't credit the Redskins. You kidding me?
Hey, you still have to go out there and play, but man, that's disappointing though. Regardless, we should have won that game.
But
let's move on. Let's move on to something a little more gloomy. Yeah, despite a tough loss tonight, the Dallas Mavericks. At least they got a couple of wins. Remember last year at this time?
Okay, first of all, before you start, you sound like this is a funeral. Like, as in, like we're 0-4 now.
Okay, but...
You were just hyping them up before we got into the show.
I know, but at least we're not 0-4 like last year. We have a couple of wins, which is awesome. Thank gosh, I did not want to be 0-4.
So be happy.
I am very happy about it. I'm just a little disappointed because we blew it tonight, obviously.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like, that's why I'm feeling a little... But I am very excited that we caught a couple of wins.
Nah.
I know tonight was tough, but I feel like we're going to learn a lot about this team after this kind of loss.
I agree, and we started the season off. The NBA season has now officially begun. We didn't play that first game. So by when we were in studio last, we played the Suns first, lost 121-100. That's our worst loss. We came back, beat the Timberwolves in a epic second game of the season.
that was a lot of fun. I watched that whole thing. A
lot of energy at the AAC. I'm really happy to see that finally. It's back. We won 140-136. We then went on to beat the Bulls 115-109, and we just blew a 25-point lead to the Hawks and lost a 111-104. Micah, real quick, we're going to assess this team. What do you see? What do you like? What do you don't like?
Right now, I know it's early. I know it's early, but I love the way that Doncic is coming out and playing. He's playing with fire. He's doing quite well. As I said, it's only been four games, but I really like the small sample. I love DeAndre Jordan, how he's rebounding the ball. I know we're all upset about what happened a couple years ago.
I'm not over it.
And I know you may not be over it.
I am not over it.
But hey.
Will I ever be over it, Micah? Real quick before
you
begin,
ask
me.
And I don't blame you. And I don't blame you for being upset. But at least he's finally here. He did what we would expect him to do, rebound the ball like crazy, be a rebound machine, and get a couple of big dunks. Man, and I also like what DSJ is doing, Dennis Smith Jr. I love what he's shown. And you know what? A surprise player this year? Dwight Powell. Where has this guy been the last few years?
He's been there.
I mean, he's had flashes.
He's been okay.
He's been okay, but he's been a big standout off the bench this year. I love that. He's been a huge energy boost off the bench. I love that. We need that kind of guy coming off the bench.
You know what?
Maxi Kleber?
Yeah, and you know
he's
what?
He's also been good, too.
I'll tell you what. If Luka Doncic keeps playing like the way he's playing, I'm going to owe somebody an apology. Now, he's not the fastest player, but if he's going to average 18 points a night, how many did he have tonight?
I think he had 21.
Are you serious?
I think so.
Let me look real quick. But yeah, no. If he keeps playing like he did in the past couple of games, he had how many points?
I think it was 21.
You got to be kidding me. He had 21 points.
That's pretty good, though.
Okay. If he keeps playing like that, I'm going to owe somebody an apology. We would win the draft if that keeps continuing. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Above Ayton, above Marvin Bagley III. Above Trae Young.
Mo Bamba.
Above Mo Bamba, who I really like. He's looking really good in Orlando right now. Above Mo Bamba.
And
above Knox. That would be us winning the draft, which would be nice because the Mavericks never win the draft.
No,
ever.
They don't because they're terrible at drafting. But apparently this year.
Who's worse, the Cowboys or the Mavericks at drafting? Hot take.
Oh, gosh. They're both pretty bad. But based on the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I mean, at least. I would probably take the Mavericks for the last 2 years at least.
Yeah, they've had some questionable calls.
To be fair, the Mavs kind of had DSJ fall into their lap.
That was a nice one.
That was a nice one. I think we might have. You got to be fair. That landed in their lap.
We got close to winning that draft. We got real close.
That was a phenomenal pickup.
I think I would say if we were going on a scale, I would say Jason Tatum was obviously one for the Boston Celtics. And then I think we're second. We came in second in that draft. But no, I really like this offense. I have to tell you, And there was times last year, a couple games I went to specifically, where we only scored when they played the Timberwolves this year, just a couple weeks, I mean days ago, they scored 69 points in the half. There was times last year we didn't score 69 points in the game. So this offense has already gotten so much better.
Oh, yeah, and I love it. I love how the offense has come alive. The defense will get better, I think. I mean, everyone's struggling, as we mentioned earlier in the show.
And
everyone's struggling defensively right now.
I'll tell you what. That's no excuse, but I get what you're saying. It's chemistry, right? Because we're only a couple games in. Everyone's got to figure out how to play with each other.
But it seems like the offensive intensity and chemistry is already there.
Well, I tell
it's
you,
like they've been playing
I tell
for
you
years.
What. Do I forgive DeAndre Jordan for what he did? No. Will I ever forget it? No. But man, is it nice to have someone in the middle, is it not?
As I've been saying, you have to have that rebounder if you're going to win games.
I've missed that.
I have too.
Thanks, Tyson Chandler, leaving us high and dry. But man, well, it's like a combination.
DeAndre kind of left us high and dry.
DeAndre's kind of the one that like put us in this rut. But Tyson Chandler didn't have to leave, and he left. But no, it's nice to have the presence inside. When's the last time you've seen the Mavericks alley-oop?
Forever.
It's been a while.
Maybe we saw one last year.
Maybe
not much.
When they were wide open.
Yeah, pretty much.
When they're on transition offense. When they're on the break. On the break. Yeah.
On the wide open.
If Dirk ever went up for an alley oop, he'd break all the bones in his body when he came down.
Probably.
No, the defense absolutely needs to get better. That's my only thing is you cannot continue to, you know, allow these teams to score 111 points, 130 points, you know, 121 points. And do I think it'll get better? Probably. Do I think that we can outshoot everybody?
No. That'd be tough.
Hold on. Let me think. Not Golden State. Probably not. You know what? I think we can outshoot some people though. A good amount of teams.
After what I've seen in the past four games.
I think I'm starting to really buy into this offense. Luka Doncic, I'm still looking for some stuff, some athleticism. I think I can cross over faster than Luka Doncic, but he can score better than me, so he's got that on me. But no, I'm starting to believe in this offense. And I'll tell you what, if Luka can average 18 to 21, which he's kind of doing right now, and DSJ, Dennis Smith Jr., can do what he's doing, man.
You won those two drafts.
We don't know if you won the DSJ because think about Jason. Think about that duo going forward.
That's gonna be.
How old is Luka? 19.
Something. Like
21.
He's not that old.
He's not, and he's been playing in the.
He's
been playing
in
the
Liga.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. Yeah, he's been playing there over in Spain. And DSJ is what 20 now because he came out of NC State. That's a young, great duo that I don't think a lot of people have.
A lot of people would kill to have it.
The Mavericks are looking pretty all right so far. Wesley Matthews needs to go. That's not a discussion we're going to have tonight, but what?
However, Wesley Matthews hasn't been terrible this season.
No, but
yet.
He's a thief. He's taking a lot of our money.
That's true.
I would love to see this team, though, maybe after this year. I'm just kind of looking forward. Get a big free agent. Not too big, but a big one, a notable name, because I think with our guys, we can do it. If they can see that we have young talent, because a couple years ago, last year, you know, it's not that appealing. I get it. Old bunch of old guys. J.J. Barea kind of being the best player on the team, which is kind of sad. Not anymore, though. That's not the case. We can attract guys now, which is good. I want to see what we can do with that.
With this young talent, man, I'd say next year. Maybe a big time for us to grab a free agent and get to
last
the
point
playoff
go.
Level.
You got it? What do you got?
And I think if the Mavs can go out... And this year, I think they're obviously a much better team. But if they can go out there and get another free agent or two that can really help, maybe get a bench player that can help off the bench and a guy who can start out there, man, this team is going to be a playoff team. And these players are only going to get better.
You're right. And
they're going to learn. They're going to learn a few things this year.
I agree.
Maybe next year they can take that step to make it to the playoffs.
But we picked them this year, and I feel pretty confident about it in that eighth slot. I think
they
can do it.
Starting how it started, you know what? Why not?
Seriously, if we can just continue to do that.
Wouldn't it be a great experience for them to just get in this year?
I think our three-point percentage can improve from time to time. We'll be okay. That's not a big deal because you've seen flashes of it, especially in the Minnesota game. Woo! We had some great three-point shots. Field goal percentage is right there. I think it's really efficient. I'm really excited about this offense. You got anything else? Anything else? You good?
Hey, I'm excited.
Last point before we go.
I think that's it.
We might be a playoff team again, Micah.
That would be great.
Oh, happy day. Oh, it's coming back. The Mavericks are almost back. The Mavericks are almost back. That's all the time we have for this segment, though. Getting into our last topic after the break, as always, we'll be doing pick'ems. Have some huge games coming up this weekend.
Oof.
Some possible playoff shakeups coming with these games. We'll get into our pick'ems, as always, here on the hot seat. You're listening to UTARadio.com.
Did you?
Welcome back to the hot seat here on UTARadio.com, Radio FX, iHeartRadio, and also streaming on Facebook Live, where you could see live score updates as the Mavericks choked away the lead and lost the game. That's okay. We'll bounce back. What's the score to the baseball game real quick, Micah?
It's still 4-2 in the bottom of the seventh.
4-2 Boston. Correct? Boston. See, those bats are getting warm. They're getting warm. But, you know, real quick, getting into our hot take pick'ems right now. As always, as we do on the last segment, leaving y'all, we got about 7 minutes, Micah. We're going to go rapid fire into these. Up first, college as always, Washington State at Stanford. Stanford is a 3-point favorite. Who do you got?
Washington State's being disrespected there a little bit.
They
I'm
are.
I'm going to take Washington State.
They are.
Give it to me.
I agree with you. I think the offense for Washington State looked really good last week against Oregon.
Very good Oregon.
I did not
team.
See that happening to Oregon. They looked completely overwhelmed with Washington State. Broke my heart. I really like
the Ducks, but
I know
that,
I like
you,
that
you
Oregon
respect
team.
A good performance,
but
I
get it, and I'm gonna pick Washington State. They're gonna cover that. I mean, they're gonna blow by that spread, don't you think?
Yeah.
Up next, so. Big game. Iowa's ranked as well. And we got Penn State. Iowa's playing at Penn State. Penn State is a 6.5-point favorite.
And Iowa's ranked right now?
Are they ranked
18,
still?
18, right?
They are, yes.
Oh, man, that's going to be a big game.
I know. What do you got? Who
and
do you got?
Penn State did not look that good against, who did they play? Indiana Hoosiers?
Yep. Mm. Nah, they had issues. They almost lost it, too.
Yeah, I know they did.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to take Iowa with the upset in this one.
Really?
I'm going to take them winning at Happy Valley.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I can go with Iowa. I think if Iowa's playing at home, I'd pick Iowa. But since they're playing in Happy Valley, I think Penn State's gonna be looking to make a statement from last game. They're usually pretty good about bouncing back. I'm gonna pick Penn State. Cover the spread. Probably win by a touchdown. Up next, you know, this is interesting because this Florida State team was not good at all, and they're kind of picking up steam now. But Clemson plays them in Tallahassee. Clemson's a 16.5-point favorite. Who do you have? People are picking this game. Man, people are saying this game might be a possible red alarm. I don't see why, but people are saying that.
16.5, man. That seems a bit much, man.
Well, I know that,
if
yeah.
If this was against the spread, I would pick Florida State, but I think Clemson will still win, but, man, it's going to be close. I think Clemson by 3.
Yeah?
I'll take Clemson by 3. They'll really? Screech it out.
Woo.
Barely.
Woo. You're believing in this Florida State team now?
I just don't believe in Clemson right now.
Okay.
I'm not a big believer.
Okay. I see. Trevor Lawrence is looking pretty all right, though.
Yeah, he's looking all right, but you just got to think that they're setting up for some kind of letdown eventually.
We'll see. Up next.
Did you pick for that game?
Oh, I didn't. Thank you for reminding me.
Don't forget to make
sometimes, a pick, man. Sometimes we have blunders. You know, I think that happened a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about the Texas OU game and you were saying bring it back to the end of the pick'ems, so because it's the biggest game. And I think we totally forgot to actually pick. I think we just left it at that. And so we never picked the Texas OU game.
I thought we did.
Did we end up picking
Texas.
It? I would have to go back and check the records, but it felt like, well, I know we picked because we talk about it all the time. But on the show, I'm not quite sure for the record if we actually did pick it or not.
I know is I picked Texas, whether I did on the show or not.
Yeah, I picked Texas too. I wish if it wasn't on the show, I'd be bummed out because that would have been a great record pick. Up next,
man.
A huge game for the SEC East. We got Florida at Georgia. Georgia
Ooh.
Is a 6.5-point favorite. I don't know about that spread. What do you think? Who do you think is going to win?
Man, this is going to be a tough game. I'm going to have to take Florida. That team just looks so good.
You know what? I'm gonna take Florida too. I think I don't know what it is about this team. I think Georgia is looking a little shaky right now, coming off, you know, first they had the loss, and yeah, I mean, it's okay, but they haven't been the same Georgia team so far to me. Do you think?
I don't think so either.
Yeah, that's not the same Georgia team from
last
year.
They've been a little shaky this
year. They've been shaky from time to time. This Florida team has looked more legit every week I watch them, picking up steam.
I know they lost to Kentucky, but man, ever since, that team has been full fire.
But it's not like Kentucky is that. I mean, they're ranked in the top 13. They're number 12.
Number 12.
Yeah, so it's.
So it's not like they're a bad football team.
No, and they beat LSU. LSU is a top 5 team. And so I mean, I don't see why they can't win. I mean, they are playing in Georgia. Is that going to cause problems? Possibly. But I'm gonna pick Florida here. And 6.5. I don't think they cover. I don't think that gets. I think it's. No.
And we both called that. I believe the Florida over LSU as well. If you recall, that's for the record.
That's true. That is a good record one. Last up on the college, we got Texas, Oklahoma State.
Oh, Texas.
Texas is now a 3.5-point favorite. It took a while for them to get that spread over on that side. But that's okay. Who do you got?
Texas by 2 touchdowns.
I think this is going to shock most people. Most people, I think, are thinking this is going to be a close game. It's a night game for ABC. That's kind of nice to see. Big 12 featured at night on prime time. But I do not think that this game will actually be as close as people think. I think Texas wins big too, and we get set up for the West Virginia game.
Perfect.
If West Virginia wins, that should be fun. Moving into the NFL. Up first, we got about 2 minutes here, Michael. We gotta go fast. Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 8-point favorite. Who do you got?
I'll take Cleveland to keep it close, but I think. But where is it at? Is it at Pittsburgh?
It's at Pittsburgh. I'm taking Cleveland. It's at Pittsburgh.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. It's going to be close.
You just said you were taking Cleveland.
No, I said I would if it was against the spread. I think that would be close.
Oh, I see.
But
this is my first week. I feel ashamed. I'm not picking Cleveland.
I'm not either.
This team's losing too much for me right now. I just think Pittsburgh is going to find a way to overwhelm them. Up next, New Orleans Saints versus Minnesota. Minnesota is a 1-point favorite. That's going to be a good game. Who do you got real quick? We got 1 minute.
I'll take Minnesota.
I'm taking New Orleans. Drew Brees is on fire right now. That offense looks really good. They're finally starting to click. They got one loss. I don't think it's gonna be close. Green Bay versus the undefeated Los Angeles Rams. Todd Gurley looks really great. You know, the Rams are a 9.5-point favorite at home. Who do you have?
Rams.
Yeah. The Green Bay Packers are great with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is fantastic, but they don't have enough to face Jared Goff and Todd Gurley for the Rams. I think the Rams win this one big. Up next, Philadelphia and Jacksonville. Jacksonville having some issues with Blake Bortles.
Man, neither team has looked that good.
And yeah, no, and yeah, Philadelphia having their own issues. Philadelphia is a 3-point favorite.
I'm going to have to take Jacksonville. You said it was at Jacksonville, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to take Jacksonville.
I think Jacksonville bounces back too. I think they win this game. Up last, the Denver Broncos and the 6-1 Kansas City Chiefs with the heartthrob Patrick Mahomes, possibly the MVP this year from my hometown, Lubbock, Texas. I'm not going to get into him. Anyways, I was just... Kansas City is a 10-point favorite. Who do you have real quick?
I'm going to take Kansas City. I believe in the Patrick Mahomes train.
Yeah, I got to pick Kansas City. I don't see anything here. They're the best team in the league right now. They're playing the best football. Their defense is terrible, but their offense is that good. The Cowboys are on a bye this week, but they'll get back against the Tennessee Titans. That's why the pick was not there, but we'll pick them next week.
You want to pick them against the bye?
Yeah, hopefully they can win that game on the road, right?
I know, right? That'll be tough.
But yeah, that is all the time we have here on the Hot Seat on UTARadio.com. As always, thank you for tuning in every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. UTARadio.com, iHeartRadio, Radio FX, and also streaming live on Facebook Live. Micah Cole is the man to search. We'll be back next week. Hope to see y'all there. Hope y'all are going to be listening.
It's Halloween.
It is a Halloween. We'll be having a Halloween special, that is for sure. But this is the Hot Seat here on UTARadio.com. We'll see you next week.